This morning's sermon is called The Living Water, Part 2. Hopefully you were here last Sunday. You heard Part 1, very powerful passage. This is in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 16 through 26, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. A Samaritan woman meets her Messiah. What a powerful story this is. This is a wonderful story of our Lord Jesus sharing the gospel himself with a Samaritan woman. Jesus' humanity is on display in this passage, in this chapter, as he is weary and thirsty sitting by a well. And Jesus' deity is also on display because he meets a woman that he had never met and he knows everything about her. He knows her whole history. We do not know this woman's name, but Jesus does. He knew everything about her as we read through this passage. He knew that she had had 5 husbands. He knew that she was currently living with another man that was not her husband. He knew that she was an outcast. He knew that she was an immoral woman. He knew that she was living an adulterous life. Safe to say that she was living in fornication. But this wasn't a barrier for Jesus. He came to save people just like her and you and me. He came to save and seek the lost. People like you and me and her, he came to save. In this passage, Jesus is going to bring her sin now to the forefront. He had been talking about giving her living water in our passage last Sunday, and now he's going to bring her sin to the forefront. There must be a conviction of sin which leads to repentance unto salvation, just as the scriptures tell us in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 10. Right? It says, for true godly sorrow produces repentance, leading unto salvation. Jesus is also going to talk to this woman about true worship, which is very important. He's going to speak directly to us this morning through his word. Last Sunday, we ended with Jesus telling this Samaritan woman, whoever drinks of this water, this physical water from this well, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, spiritual water, will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to Jesus, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. What's amazing about this story, as we went through it last Sunday and we go through it today, Jesus starts out thirsty and weary, sitting at a well. He told this woman to give me a drink, physical water. Then he identifies her as the thirsty one who needs living water, spiritual water, very powerful. He turns this now and says, I'm tired, I'm weary, give me a drink. And then he identifies her as being the thirsty one who needs this living water, spiritual water, and he is the source of this water, eternal life, salvation. Very powerful. We're going to pick up in verses 16 through 18 this morning. Jesus switches the conversation now to deal with this woman's sin. Jesus said in verse 16, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands. And the one whom you now have, he's not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Now, Jesus knew everything about this woman, being God himself. But to come to salvation, we have to be brought to a point where we confess our guilt and our sin before God. That's repentance, right? It has to get personal at some point between you and the Lord. It has to get personal. And this is what he's telling this woman. He's bringing it right before her. We're going to have to deal with this so you can receive living water. Jesus drove this home in these verses. He said, I know, I have no husband. She said, Jesus said to her, you have well said, you have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you live with now, he's not even your husband. Sin must be dealt with in the eyes of the Lord. There must be a conviction in the heart of the sinner. Which brings us to repentance unto salvation, right? I've told you guys this many times before. The gospel only requires two things. Repentance and faith. Okay? Repentance and faith, listen, which produces obedience. When it's true repentance and it's true saving faith, that produces obedience, right? The Bible says that we must repent and believe in Jesus Christ to be saved, right? And place our faith and trust in Christ, right? And Christ alone. Not your works, but the works of Christ. That's what that means. We rest in the works of Christ. There's nothing we could do to earn our way to heaven, right? We rest in the works of Christ, right? If we do not deal with sin, like Jesus is bringing up in this passage, if we don't deal with sin, the bad news, we'll never appreciate the good news, amen? We'll never appreciate the good news, right? The good news of the gospel. We'll never do that, right? No one is going to truly turn to Christ if they don't think that they're a sinner, right? That's common sense, right? If someone thinks they're not a sinner, they're never going to seek a Savior, right? I've told people before, you need Jesus. You need to be saved. And they've said, why do I need to be saved? I'm not a sinner. That's how lost some people are, so spiritually dead, they don't think they're a sinner. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. You, me, and this Samaritan woman. Everyone, all, and fall short of the glory of God, right? And the Bible tells us that, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of eternal life, the gift of eternal life, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to notice in this passage, it's very important. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't browbeat this woman over her sin. He brought it to the forefront, but he didn't browbeat her, right? He actually tells her twice, I don't know if you've noticed, that she is somewhat honest, right? He says, Jesus says, you have well said, I have no husband, which was true. She didn't. And Jesus said, and the one whom you have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. I know, that's true. Yes, you have well spoken, and yes, you have truly spoken, but you happen to leave out that you had five husbands. Jesus is telling her, but I know, and you know, that I know. He's bringing her sin to the forefront. I also want to point out the fact that this is so powerful in this scripture. Jesus brings her face to face with God's knowledge of her life. He knew her life history. He knew everything she had ever done, just like your life and my life. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your thoughts. He knows what you do every day. That's what the Lord's telling us. I know how much time you spend with me each day. I know everything about you, the Lord is telling us in the scripture, like he did this woman. I know you better than you know you, says the Lord. Now, this is important to understand. that when you have been forgiven by the grace of God, God said, I will remember your sin no more. Yes, he knows everything about you. He knows everything about your history. He's known what you've done. But he said, I will remember your sins no more. If you are saved, your sin debt has been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sin debt, the scripture says, if you are in Christ, has been nailed to the cross of Christ. Psalm 103:12 says that God has removed our transgressions from us as far as from the east is to the west. Isaiah 45:25, God said, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins no more. You know the reason why I bring this up? I see many Christians who still think about their past sin since coming to Christ, and it's destroying them. They still think of those things. Satan comes by, he shoots a few darts at you. Hey, Sean, yeah, you're really not that good. God wants nothing to do with you. Remember you did this back in 1990? That's the devil. Remind you of your sin. And it's sad to see Christians who have been forgiven to remember those sins. Why would you remember the sins that you've been forgiven for when God told you, I'll remember it no more? You know what God's telling you? If I will not remember your sins no more, why will you? You know why God tells us that? He doesn't want us to live with that burden of those past sins before we came to Christ, before we made Jesus Lord of our lives and truly surrendered our lives. We got to let it go. At the end of this story, this woman's sin debt is going to be wiped out as well by the grace of God. So after she hears Jesus tell her that he knows everything about her, she replies in verses 19 and 20. Let's take a look at these verses. It says, the woman said to Jesus, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Seeing he knows everything about her. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. She believes at this point that Jesus is a prophet. Right? You speak for God. You must be a prophet. You know everything about me. You must be a prophet. And you know what? She wants to know more. She said to Jesus, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. And you Jews say that we ought to worship in Jerusalem in the temple. That's the place one ought to worship. She is basically asking Jesus a question right here, saying, where do I go to worship? There's a conviction in her soul. And she knows that being right with God is a matter of worship, coming to Christ. Where do I go to worship? She switches right the subject right away. Let's not talk about my sin anymore. Where can I go worship? Right? Enough about me. Let's go worship. I get the point. Right? Where can I find God? She's saying to him. Where can I find this living water that you were talking about, this eternal life? Do I go to Mount Gerizim where the Samaritans go? Or do I go to Jerusalem where the Jews go? Where do I find this living water? And look at Jesus' response. Let's take a look at verse 21 and 22. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. Highlight that in your Bible. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We Jews know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. She knew she needed to bow the knee before God. And she wanted to know, where do I go? Do I take off to the mountain? Do I go to Jerusalem? Where do I go? Her soul was pierced. Full conviction of her sin. She wants to repent. She wants to get right with God. And Jesus lets her know, which is beautiful, that worship and salvation isn't about a location. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Whether you are a Jew, a Gentile, Samaritan, it's a matter of faith. It's not about a location, right? You can come in faith. You can worship God anywhere. And then this is when the living water comes. Worship is a matter of the heart. That's what Jesus is telling her. In verse 22, Jesus told her, he said, you, speaking of the Samaritans, worship what you do not know. We, he's saying the Jews, know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus said this because the scriptures were first given to the Jews. Okay, this is why he said it. Okay, it's not a whole lot here. This is why he said it. The Messiah came through Israel. Okay? Jesus was born in the tribe, through the tribe of Judah. His mother, Mary, was from the tribe of Judah. This is all he's saying. Scriptures were given to the Jews first. The Messiah came through Israel. Jesus, being fully God, fully man, he came into the world through the tribe of Judah. So he brings this up to this woman. She already knows he's a Jew. She called him a Jew, then sir, now prophet. By the end of this, she'll be calling him Messiah. Did you notice in verse 22, Jesus said two words to her, two powerful words to you also. Believe me. Believe me. This is a must for our salvation. Jesus is saying, believe that I am who I say I am. Believe in my words, believe in my works on the cross, believe in the gospel, believe that I am the only one who can save you. Believe that I can set you free from your sin. Believe that I am the only Savior. We see this in the scriptures from Jesus our Lord. Believe, believe, believe in me, says the Lord, over and over. Believe in me and place your faith and trust in me and me alone, says the Lord. Do you remember back in chapter 2, we went through that, verse 5. Do you remember Mary's, the mother of Jesus, what her last words were in the scriptures? You remember that back in chapter 2, verse 5? What were the last words, last recorded words that Mary said to the servants at the wedding in Cana of Galilee? Exactly. Mary said, whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. These are the last recorded words of Mary. Not the last appearance, but it's her last words. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus' mother, her last words recorded in the scriptures was, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. What great advice from Mary. Then Jesus tells the Samaritan woman in verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Look at this. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. There's that word we keep seeing in the scriptures, in this gospel. One word, must. And when Jesus said back in the Old Testament, he repeated that. He said, the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross. What did he tell Nicodemus when we went through chapter 3? Remember what he told Nicodemus? Hey, Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's that word must. We see this over and over and over in the scriptures. You must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus tells her she doesn't have to go anywhere. She doesn't have to go to the mount. She doesn't have to go to Jerusalem. You can go to God right where you are. You can worship God in your car. You can worship Him in your house. You can worship Him taking a walk. But you must worship the Father in spirit and truth. Listen, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship is a matter of the heart. Coming in the spirit and truth, right? You know what true worship is, right? Loving God, honoring God, praising God, glorifying God, obeying God and His Word, serving God. Here's the most important part right here. From the heart. From the heart. That's true worship. He said, if you come to me, you better come with your heart and spirit and truth. You must do this in order to worship me. That's true worship. You know, I said this before. You guys might remember me saying this. I said, you know, we have one thing to offer God. And that's our heart. And that's exactly what He wants. That's all He wants from you. That's all He wants from me. Is your heart. That's it. He wants a real, genuine relationship with you and me. Our Creator. God Almighty, the one who put that sun right where it needed to be, made the sun and the stars and the moon and the galaxies, you can have a relationship with them. Amazing. A genuine relationship with our Lord. So after Jesus told the Samaritan woman, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who come to Him must worship in spirit of truth. She responds in verse 25 and 26 with this. The woman said to Jesus, I know that the Messiah is coming. So you know. Who is called the Christ. So you know. When He comes, by the way, He's going to tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who you speak am He. I bet you could hear a pin drop right there, right? I who speak to you am He. Can you imagine the look on her face? Jesus made two very, very powerful revelations in this passage to this woman and to us. The first revelation, Jesus tells her, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. As a revelation right there to you and me as well. Okay? He says, if you're going to come to me, you better come in spirit. And in truth. Because I already know everything about you. I know what's in your heart. I know what's in your mind. I know what's in your soul. I know where you'll go. You better come to me in truth. Worship is a matter of the heart. The Lord is saying, if you want to worship me, you're going to have to come to me in spirit and truth from the heart. Second revelation. Powerful. Jesus declared to her, I am the Messiah. He said, I am He. You know, this is the first time that Jesus in the New Testament told someone face to face that He's the Messiah. To this very sinful, immoral, adulterous, living woman. He loved the Samaritans, and he loved her. He came to save her. Peter, he said Jesus was the Messiah. He told others. Others have said, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. Just so if you didn't know, he's the Messiah. Peter said it. John the Baptist said it. But Jesus, for the first time, tells her, tells someone, I am the Messiah. I know you're waiting on the Messiah, he said. I am he. I am the Christ. I am God in the flesh. Very powerful. She had somewhat of a belief. I don't know if you picked up on that in this passage. She does have a somewhat of a belief. She said, just as we read, I know the Messiah is coming. You probably won't find an unbeliever that would say that. So she does believe. Who is called the Christ? When he comes, hey, he's going to tell us all things. She said, when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all things. She's saying he's going to teach us all things we need to know. He will declare to us all things to us. And Jesus said, I am he. I've come. Jesus introduced himself as God to her, just like he did to Moses way back in Exodus chapter 3. Verse 15, he told Moses, I am who I am. I am God Almighty, Yahweh. I am he. I am God. She was sitting at the well with God. Can you imagine? Man, wouldn't it have been great to be there? Wouldn't it have been great if you were the woman? That was you? Let me tell you something. You have the same faith as this woman. If you are in Christ, you are God's daughter. Just like her. She just happened to be the lucky one sitting by the well. Sitting at the well with the Son of God, God in the flesh. Can you imagine? If you missed last Sunday, if you weren't here, Jesus walked 20 miles from Judea to Sychar, where this well was. 20 miles he walked, and it wasn't flat. And while he arrived, he was weary and thirsty. He was sitting at the well for this Samaritan woman. He had a divine appointment with this woman to come save her. Save her family. Save her village, which we're going to find out next week. It's an incredible story. Now this Samaritan woman is sitting there ready for the truth, and Jesus is going to give her the truth. To be continued next Sunday. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word this morning as we gathered in your name. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for all your love and grace. We thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you'll keep talking through us, talking to us through the Holy Spirit, Lord, through your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.